Turning your books to Matthew 14. Matthew 14. Matthew 14 on verse 31. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now go to chapter 15, verse 27. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your precious word. Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, but most of all, I pray that you be glorified, that you receive all the honor and glory. Lord, if anybody is here that's not saved, I pray you speak to his heart specially. I pray for souls to be saved. I pray for Christians revived. Lord, teach us thy word. And we ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You know, the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 3, it says, God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. I don't know why he said that, but probably just so that he would shut everybody up. And that they would understand that everybody has been given some faith, so that maybe you will not make an excuse later on when you're being judged at the white throne judgment, that you would not say, but God, you never gave me any faith. How could I believe? The Bible says that he gave to every man a measure of faith. But you know, beloved, even though he gives you this faith, it might be very little. It's up to you what you do with it. You can either nurture it, you can get it to become great faith, or you can just keep it very little, or you can even cast it out. The first time that you see the word faith is in the Bible in Deuteronomy chapter 32. And he's talking about people that are idolaters. And he says, these are children whom have no faith. In other words, they had cast it out. Even though they had been given a measure of faith, they cast it out. And you know, the good thing about little faith is that that's all you need to go to heaven. Little faith and great faith, there might be a long distance between them, but it's not a gulf that divides them. They're both on that same road that leads to heaven. They're both on that same celestial highway that leads to the throne of God. Whether you have little faith or great faith is sufficient. It's good enough. And many times, beloved, little faith catches up to great faith and even surpasses it. This is what God would like for you to do. He would like for you to have great faith. He doesn't speak very good of people with little faith. But you know, the Bible says that he rebuked his apostles, his disciples, three times in the Bible. You find it in the book of Matthew chapter 6, chapter 8, and chapter 16. He wasn't talking to the multitudes. He was talking to his chosen ones, the ones that he had selected, the ones that he had chosen, the ones that he had elected. Here's telling them, O ye of little faith. He told them at one time when they were in a boat and the winds began to pick up real high and real heavy, that they began to fear for their lives, and they woke him up and say, Lord, don't you know that we're going to perish? And he says, O ye of little faith. How can they perish with the Lord being there? But you know, only one time you see somebody being rebuked personally. And this is what we have in here. He rebukes Peter by himself. Even though he had rebuked everybody as a whole, as a group, now he rebukes his chosen one, the one he really wants him to increase his faith. He rebukes him personally. And you know, this is what you have to do in life. You know, to really grow, to become the best athlete or the best boxer or the best of anything, somebody has to get after you. That's why when I listen to Tony Parker, when he says, you know, Pop, he really gets after me. He really yells at me, and he yells so loud, he really gets after me. And then he said, but you know, it's like a father and son relationship. Pop wants him to become the best. That's why he takes an interest in him. And every time your dad gets after you, you ought to just go ahead and take it when he's telling you something. You ought not to be saying, well, why does he yell at me? He's doing it for your good. That's why your fathers get after you. It's not that they want to humiliate you. They want you to grow. They don't want you to make the mistakes that they made. Amen. But you know, Peter would one day become the evangelist and preach at the day of Pentecost where 3,000 people are going to get saved. You can't do it with little faith. One day he was going to give him also the keys of the kingdom. You can't do it with little faith. One day, Peter would be entrusted to feed my sheep. You can't do it with little faith. It was important that his faith would increase. Amen. But you know, when you think of Peter and little faith, you just don't mix it. I just don't associate Peter with little faith, but yet that's what God called him. It wasn't that his faith had just diminished. He always had little faith. But you know, when you associate, you hear the word an adulterer, what are you associated with? I usually think of King David. When you hear of somebody that doubts, that's Thomas. When you hear of somebody that's meek, well, that's Moses. When you hear of somebody that's liar, you think of Clinton. But you never think, you never think of Peter as being somebody who has little faith. You think of Peter as being somebody with great faith. This man is going to preach to everybody. This guy's going to be the foreman of these people. He's going to have to be the leader. He will be called the pillar of the church. How can he have little faith? So you see, beloved, it's very important. But this morning I'd like to zero in on little faith. We will be speaking of great faith. But what is little faith? If the Lord has mentioned it several times and he has said, little faith, oh ye of little faith, he's not very proud of these people. But he wants you to grow in knowledge and in grace. So what we have here is that I'd like to maybe point out the symptoms. What is little faith? What is it? Can we slay all the doubts this morning? And this is what we'll try to do. Listen to chapter 14 of Matthew. On the first symptom that we find, on verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou. That's the first problem. Lord, if it be thou. How come he couldn't just believe the Lord? Little faith doesn't really trust the word. Little faith doesn't trust what God said. Hadn't just the Lord just finished saying, it is I? Why does he have to say, if it be thou? Is that how you are this morning? Do you really believe what God says? God says, wives, obey your husbands. Why do you have problems with that? I won't tell nothing to the husbands because today is Father's Day, but wives, obey your husbands. Do you have problem with that? Isn't that what he says? Why is it that you have to argue? Why is it that you have to give him so much trouble? Why is it that you just can't say, okay, God has told me to obey, I'm going to obey. Amen. You can make suggestions. You can throw hints. You can give advice. But he is in charge. He is the one, the commander-in-chief of that house. Right. Even the law of the land recognizes that the house, that a man in his own house, that's his castle. A man in his own house, that's his castle. In other words, the law recognizes that he is king at home. You don't have to call him Lord like Sarah, but at least obey him. Why do you have to have little faith? The Bible says, oh, ye have little faith. You know, I also think about the children. Children, obey your father in the Lord, your parents in the Lord. Why do you have to give your parents so much trouble? You think that they just want to humiliate you? How come you just can't take when they rebuke you and they're telling you, don't go this way, you need to go this way? They're doing it for your good. Amen. They're telling you because they already went through this problem. They already made the mistakes. They want the best for you. That's That's why they say, the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Amen. You don't have to think or wonder. That's what the Bible says, O ye of little faith. Is this what you would like the Lord to say to you? This is what he says, well, maybe you don't even have any faith at all. Maybe you're not even saved. Sometimes little faith is also interpreted as no faith at all. You know, it says here on Matthew that the Lord told him, O ye of little faith, but that's not what Mark says. Mark says that he told them, have you no faith at all? Little faith sometimes can be said, oh, there's no faith in here. How come he didn't want to believe the Lord? The Lord had just told him, it is I. Be of good cheer. Why didn't they just bring out the pom-poms and say, oh man, look at the Lord, he's walking on water. Why does he have to say, Lord, if it be thou? He had just performed so many miracles. The day before he had fed 5,000. Hadn't they seen the miracles that God had done? Hadn't they already recognized that this is the Messiah? But you know, he gives you his word, and yet we reject it. We don't really believe it. You have no excuse. You have all the doctrines, you have all the teachings, more light than anybody ever has. No other country has as much Bible teaching as you have here in America. And for anybody to say, well, I'm not really too sure. I'm not really too sure that this is really God's book. He says, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. Why do you have problems with that, O ye of little faith? Let me point out to you now symptom number 2. On verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water. You know, little faith always wants proof. Little faith is not sufficient for them just to look. He wants to touch. He wants to be like a Thomas. Even though they had already been told by Magdalene that the Lord had already risen, he's not in the grave. And Peter and John had already gone and they checked and they said, Dad, he's not here on the grave. And still Thomas will say, no, I will not believe until I touch. Not until I see. This is little faith. Do you have to have some proof? Why did Peter have to say, Lord, bid me to come to you on the water? Why does he have to take part or be a partaker of this miracle? Do we have to listen and see a great miracle for us to believe? O ye of little faith. You know, there are churches who call themselves full gospel. And when you ask them, well, what does full gospel mean? Oh, we believe everything. But you know, they really don't. They are to really be called the churches of the little faith. Because they can't just listen to God's word and believe God's word. They want to hear. They want to see. That's why they always have that altar call for people to be slain in the spirit. They want to see some action. They want to say, oh, did you hear brother so-and-so, the way he spoke in tongues, the way the Lord just spoke to him? That's the only thing that satisfies these people. That's why they never know the word of God. That's why when you talk to them on the streets, and you say, well, show me where the Bible says that you're supposed to have tongues. They have no clue where it's at. They don't even know that it was a prophecy that was fulfilled at the day of Pentecost. They can't even find it in the book of Isaiah. These people say, well, we believe everything. We are the full gospel. They are the church of the little faith. Why do you think that most of the world, when you see a full gospel church, and there's many here in town, you go and visit or just pass by there, they're full. This is the church that needs to be full. This is the church where we preach the word. But these people, all they want to do is listen, and they want to see, and they want to be able to touch. This is the full gospel. The town is full of people like that. The Lord would tell them right now, O ye of little faith, why do you have to be a partaker? Why do you have to see all these things for you to believe? And that's exactly what Peter is saying, is doing here. He wants to be able to see. He wants to be able to partake. They're not satisfied with just the rainbow in the sky. They want the whole sky to be pictured with all kinds of celestial colors for them to believe. The rainbow is not sufficient. O ye of little faith. But look now in verse 30. Chapter 14, verse 30, for symptom number 3. But when he saw the wind boisterous. You know, there's one thing about little faith. They get affected by all the surroundings. Just any little thing, they live by feelings. They live by sight. They just can't allow things to happen. It's just like somebody was telling me last night, I get affected with the weather. If it rains, I feel good. If it doesn't rain, I don't feel too good. But you know, the man's a farmer. I can understand he needs the rain. The rain, when it rains, he gets the grass to grow, the cows get to eat, his horses get to feed on the grass. And it's important for the farmer or for that person who has to work outdoors, he wants rain. Or rather, he doesn't want the rain. He gets affected because he doesn't make any money. But what about when the Spurs lose? You get affected by that, don't you? You know, there's a statistic that every time, for example, when the Spurs, or rather the Cowboys lose, there's more family violence. Even the family violence people that work at all the police stations, they advise the ladies that live in these kind of situations, in a time of games, like the Spurs, if they lose, make sure you have some witnesses. Make sure you go out and stay with your mom or your dad that night. Don't stay with your husband if that's what he does, and that's what people do. They get affected. What does it matter anything? Does it give you a bigger paycheck if the Spurs win? If they lose tonight, will you be all sad? If they win, do you think that people will just sit around and do nothing? There'll be all kinds of commotion going on downtown. Everybody will be honking their horn. In some cities, they like to even steal. People who live by feelings. This is what so many people do. Little faith gets affected by the things in this life. Everything. And he says, bid me come unto thee, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. What happened to swimming? You know that Peter could swim? You find them in the book of John, chapter 21, when the Lord had told them, throw that net over here, and they got a big drought, and they began to drag the fish. Peter didn't hang around, he swam. He got on the water, and he swam towards the Lord. What happened here? You know, let me commend little faith for a little while. Little faith, at least, will pray to God. Little faith, when he sees problems, he goes to God. He doesn't go to the other people. He doesn't pray to the saints. Peter didn't say, oh, John, can you help me? Andrew, can you throw me the rope? Immediately, he went to the Lord. Amen. You know, that's to be commended. And you know, the next thing is that little faith also will take you to heaven.
Amen.
Even though it's little, and it can be the size of a mustard seed. I don't know if you know what a mustard seed looks like, but we had some at home. See, it says mustard seed. There's two of them right there. That's how big they are. That's all you really need. Just a little faith like a mustard seed is sufficient to take you to heaven. You know, the Lord Jesus recognizes it also as faith. He says, O ye of little faith, they're still on the same road to heaven. But if you have no faith at all, my friend, this morning I recommend to you that you repent of your sins. That you put your faith and trust, even though it's just a little bitty faith. If you will just put your faith and trust in Jesus, He'll save you.
Amen.
You'll be also on that road with those people that have great faith. And maybe later on you'll catch up to some of those people. That's what the Lord wants you to have. He wants you to have great faith. I'd like to talk to you now about great faith. Go to chapter 15. Let me read to you this story. And on verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. You know, the great faith, the first thing that she said, Lord, be merciful unto me. That's the main concern. You know, it's not so much my daughter, but look, the wife, the mother, she's going to have to suffer for the rest of her life. If she loses her daughter, you think she'll ever be happy? I was telling my wife last night, man, I'm so thankful that the Lord spared the life of my grandson, Nolan. I was telling her, you know, I don't know if I could stop crying. Yeah. To lose one of my grandchildren, I think I'd cry forever. To lose one of my own children or my wife, I don't think I'd be satisfied. I think I would be crying the rest of my life. You know, this is why she says, Lord, have mercy on me. She would not be confirmed. She would not be comforted. Knowing that she has lost her daughter, how can she ever be happy again? That is the first thing that great faith will do. He says, Lord, have mercy on me. And then, have mercy on my daughter. I don't want her to live this way, Lord. You know, that's the way parents are. It's very hard, but we try the best for our children. We want them to go the right way. We don't want no tragedy to come in their lives. But you know, this is when great faith comes into play. When we have real troubles at home. You know, when they called me the other day, my daughter called me in the morning, must have been about 5 in the morning, and she said, Dad, Nolan is very sick. They just sent him to the emergency room. Michael just took him. Later on, I found out that Michael was already running 100 miles an hour to the hospital. He would see his little son. He didn't know what was wrong. They didn't know that a scorpion had bit him. They didn't know that he was allergic to the venom of that scorpion. The doctors, they had no idea what to do. And then my little grandson was having convulsions that even Michael had to get on top of his little chest to control him. The doctor later on told them, you know, Michael, you almost lost your son. There's no doubt in my mind that they took it real hard. When my daughter told me and she was crying, she said, Dad, pray for Nolan. Amen. Let me tell you, me and my wife began to cry. Lord, have mercy. Amen. Have mercy on my grandson. Don't take him away. That's all you think about. But you know, great faith, beloved, great faith doesn't take rejection. You know, the Lord didn't even answer her. Do you think that it's because he doesn't care? He saw that shining diamond in the mire. He caught a little glimpse of that little shiny diamond and he was trying to excavate it. He was trying to bring out the best in her. That's why he didn't say nothing. Not that he rejected her. Not that he hated her. Just because she was from Canaan. Just because she was one of those that had been said, Canaan, be cursed. The Lord loved her. But he was trying to bring out that great faith. And when you go through troubles, it's not that God hates you. He loves you. But he's trying many times to bring out great faith in you. He wants you to shine. This is when you have to say, Lord, I trust in you. Amen. Even though your answers don't come immediately, the Lord didn't answer her right away. You ought not to give up. Great faith doesn't give up. Great faith continues, and she said again, Lord, have mercy on me. She wouldn't quit. That's what great faith is. You think that maybe you have had problems in this life, and God has somehow has rejected you, or that He's not answering you? Maybe He's trying to bring out some of that great faith in you. He wants you to have great faith, not just little faith. You say, well, I've had problems in my marriage, and nothing's going right. Keep on asking. Don't quit. Believe in the Lord. Trust Him. You know, the heroes of the faith, beloved, in in Hebrews 11. I was reading on this, and I've read them so many times, but just concentrating and thinking about their faith. You know, none of them had or displayed their great faith with just little obstacles. You look at Noah, what he had to do. God told him, build an ark. He had to build it for years and years and years, while the whole world would pass by and just look at him and talk behind his back, probably even talk in front of his presence. And they would probably mock him and say, oh, you crazy guy. It has never rained before. What kind of faith this man had? This guy had tremendous faith to be able to take the ridicule of this world. Nobody wants to be ridiculed. We all like people to speak real good of us, don't we? But you know, many times that's what the Lord will do. He'll put you through embarrassing situations and you think this is unreasonable. How can I be building a boat? It's never rained. But at thy word, Lord, I will do it. Amen. At thy word, Lord, I will believe what you say. You know, the next person, Abraham. You think Abraham had great faith when the Lord told him to leave his country? You know, we leave our country, we leave our family, even if God doesn't tell us anything, we like to travel. I don't really consider that great faith, but let me tell you what great faith is. When the Lord had already told him that he was going to have a son, and that in his son, his seed would be blessed, and then, of course, he had it at a very great age, which is a tremendous miracle. But still, when he told him, in Isaac shall thy seed be blessed. And then he tells him, take him over there to that mountain and kill him. Man, can you imagine? This is against all logic. This is against all common sense. How can you tell me to do this, Lord? Aren't you supposed to bless me? Isn't a nation going to come out of... How can I kill him? This is unreasonable, Lord. But at thy word, I'll do it. Amen. That's great faith, beloved. You know, I think also of Rahab. Rahab, maybe you might not think that it was great faith because maybe she was just trying to save her skin. But you know, she went to those spies and she told them, you know, we have heard of your God. We know how he has dried the waters of the Red Sea so that you could pass on dry land. We have heard what you have done to the kings of the Amorites. We have heard so much that everybody, their hearts have melted. They have no courage at all. Everybody has heard it. They're all very scared of you and your God. Nevertheless, you would think, well, maybe they all believed because everybody's scared, because their hearts had melted. But you know, that's not what the Bible says. In the book of Hebrews, it tells you that Rahab perished not with them that believed not. In other words, these people that their hearts had melted, these people that had really believed, these guys have the real God. They had believed only with their mind. They had believed with their lips. They had not believed with their heart. Maybe you're here this morning and you have believed because your mom and dad tell you, because you come and listen to the Word of God and you say, well, yeah, I believe it, but you haven't really believed with your heart. You might wind up, maybe you're one of those that God will say, there's no faith in you. Have you cast away your faith? All you need, my friend, is just a little faith. Don't perish like the people in Jericho. These people perish because they believe not. Even though they had heard, and maybe you've heard the gospel, you've been here already many times, your parents have brought you, or maybe you're here and you're already an older person, and we think that you're a Christian and you're really not. You believe only with your mind, and you confess with your lips, but your heart is far from the Lord. But you know, I think also of Moses. Moses was a man who you would say, he had all the riches. Everything was going to be given to him. He was going to inherit the kingdom. He was probably going to be the next Pharaoh. But he decided, you know what? I'm going to forsake everything to suffer with the people of God. These people will be, you might call them, they're the heroes of the faith. They might be the witnesses against you. When you go before the judgment seat of Christ, which all believers will be there, and you will be judged by your works, God will be the judge. But I wonder if He'll bring these heroes of the faith to sit in the witness stand and to say, so-and-so, he didn't want to witness because he was afraid that he would lose his faith. He wanted to have been in good standing with his neighbors. Noah, can you tell him what you did? Maybe you're here and you say, I didn't want to give up all these things because I needed to work in this job that required me to be away on Sundays, that required me to maybe sell liquor because this was a company that offered me a good job, and even though it was the Lone Star Brewing Company, I couldn't pass up the job. Moses, will you testify against him? It's going to be a shame. You know, the Lord wants you to have great faith, my friend. He doesn't want you to have little faith. You don't have to stay with your little faith. Even though you're still on the same road that leads to heaven, why don't you try and catch up? Why don't you allow the Lord, the Word of God, to rebuke you? If this morning you're here with just a little faith and you don't want to serve the Lord, you got many witnesses against you. You might say these are very big heroes of the faith in Hebrews 11. They might be testifying against you. You have no excuse. Just because problems come your way, don't quit. That's when God wants you to shine. That's when God wants you to come out of that mire. That's when God wants you to go ahead and bypass your other big brother. That's when He wants you to come out and say, I will trust the Lord because I'm going to believe Him at His word.
Amen.
Let's all stand. We're going to sing 249. But if you want to get things right with the Lord this morning, the altar is open. 249.